Everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. He thinks about us in every way, in every good way. And He seeks to do us the best. He seeks to do us good, folks. He loves us. And I say that because I've been in His presence, I've studied His word, I've listened to people that love Him, and it all adds up to the same thing. God is good. And He sets us up for perfection. His love reaches out to mankind. And He considers everything. And He knows the struggle we have with sin. He didn't just tell us to not do it. He gave us a new heart so that we can turn from it. You know, I say all the time, when people stray away from the knowledge of Genesis in the garden, they get off track. If you ever feel like you've wandered off track somewhere, take a fresh look at Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. In chapter 3, because the first things that God gave us, the first knowledge He gave us, it can protect us forever. If you look at God's first intentions and then look at what happened throughout the Word of God, and then how Jesus came to restore man back to the position that Adam was in the first place. But this time He gave us His Spirit to live with us, inside us, to help us in our own personal life. And then He gave us the baptism of His Spirit upon us. See, the Holy Spirit, when we believe on Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And the Old Testament saints didn't have that. They only had the Spirit upon them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit inside them, living in their spirit to coach them throughout this life. That's why Jesus said of all the prophets, John the Baptist was the greatest, even greater than Elijah and Elisha. But then He said the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. That is a very strong and accurate statement. Because the Holy Spirit is living within us. Even Adam didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside him, to my knowledge. But he was perfect. He was sinless. When you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, then you get a brand new spirit. Not a restored spirit, a brand new spirit. You become a new creation. And your sins are gone because His blood washed it away. It's still up to you to renew your mind. It's still up to you to let your opinions conform to the Word of God so that you can learn true freedom. It's all up to your will. The Lord is not going to make you do anything. People say the Holy Spirit will make you do this and that. No, He won't. He'll guide you so that you can make the best choice. The kingdom of God is a volunteer kingdom. You don't have to stay in the kingdom of God if you don't want to. But if you love God and you want to, then you can be saved. And if you get saved and love God, you'll stay saved. You're not going to want to go back to the world. And the reason I mentioned Genesis was because of the two trees. We have to reject the wrong way and choose life throughout our lives. If you ever trust the world system somewhere, you're going to have problems. And if you trust people who trust the world system somewhere, you're going to have the same problems that they have. Or if people that trust the world somewhere, their suggestions and their opinions and their advice is going to be no different than what they choose. Every man must choose the way of God. And we're also supposed to simultaneously reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the world system. If you trust a man's advice and you do it, you're going to have the same level of success that he has. If his opinions are wrong and you trust his opinions, your life it'll end up looking like his life. If he make raggedy choices, your life will be just as raggedy as his, if you trust him. That's why false prophets, they bear fruit like them. They can't bear good fruit because they are false. And they chose the world as their way. And some people mix it up. They believe parts of God's word, and then parts of God's word they won't do. You know, there are churches, they believe in the love of God. They may believe in healing, but they may not tithe. And they're out of covenant in when it comes to tithing. And their financial life will not be as strong. Then you got people that will tithe. They'll tithe everything they got and give to no end. But they struggle with healing. And some people, they'll tithe and they'll be healed, but they don't walk in love. We need all of God's counsel. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why would a person believe this and not believe that? They'll choose over here and believe it and walk in faith and have victory over here and have lack over on the other side. Any form of lack is not necessary. If you have a nagging problem that just don't seem to go away, my advice to you is to go to the Word of God and read all the scriptures you can find about that subject matter and destroy it out of your life. Because if you destroy it out of your life, your advice will line up with the Word in that area. Your suggestions will line up with the word in that area. And your children will see your lives transform if they knew you before you transformed. And if they're born after you transform, they'll see you living a life and they'll never have a problem with the same thing that you had because you destroyed it. So, you know, I know a man that his father was alcoholic. He hated alcohol. Got saved. And he stuck with the word. And his children, they won't touch wine. But his ancestors drank. He broke that curse of overindulging in wine. In other words, it's up to you. The choice is yours. When it comes to a problem, don't let the problem be greater than God's word. Some areas you're going to breeze through it. You're going to be able to receive God's word easily and breeze through it and destroy that problem. It's not going to be a temptation. But some things are different. You're going to have to put some more effort into it. And I've had to do it in areas of my life. In the areas where I was weak or I had the greatest problems, I said, this temptation is going to be like cigarettes. I hate cigarettes. I had an aunt that died of cancer when I was very young, about 7 years old. And I decided I'd never smoke. She was a chain smoker and she died when I was very young. And she had children that were older than me, but she didn't get to enjoy seeing her children grow up because of them doggone cigarettes. So I said, I won't smoke. And I made that decision very young. So if I smell cigarette smoke, I'll probably get mad. Don't tempt me. Now, some people, they can't be around it because they're trying to quit. I understand that. But I can't be tempted with them because I never smoked before. And I always despised it. So when I was tempted in other areas, I said, well, Lord, I want you to help me come to the point on this thing that it'll be just like cigarettes. The things that would aggravate me that Satan would use to tempt me and get me off balance, I said, I want that to be like cigarettes. I want to be able to judge this matter just like you do. I want to be free from it. I don't want it to be a nagging problem in the back of my mind. And I said, now how do I do it? So I studied the scriptures and I learned from the Lord. It took time. Now don't be impatient with time, because as long as you're putting forth effort, you're gaining ground. The day will come where you'll laugh at that problem that was a mountain to you. But in the meantime, you're going to have to live. Don't give in to temptation. You got to reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you still have to reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't afford to trust Satan on anything. If it's not, if God's word is against it, you be against it. Well, preacher, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Adam didn't see nothing wrong with what the snake said. Eve didn't see nothing wrong with what that snake said. And when she ate off the tree, then Adam ate off the tree. And when Adam ate off that tree, their eyes were both open. The glory of God left. See, man, the reason that men are naked is because they were originally clothed with the glory of God, and they didn't need clothes. All the other animals that God made, they're clothed with scales or fur or hide or hair, shell. All the other animals got something on. They're not naked. Man was clothed with the glory of God. Well, when he ate out that tree, the glory left. And he was there naked, bareback. Because something happened. He entered into sin because he believed a lie. Well, if Satan lied to you now, the same thing happens to you. Except we were never covered with God's glory. We wear clothes. Even people that get saved. And the reason that people that get saved don't start glowing in the glory of God is because God took away all the evidence that's not by faith. All of the evidence that God left us requires your faith. If Christians didn't die and live forever, then people would say, hey, it's working. I'm going to get saved. You can't do that because Christians die just like the world die. And the people who enter into God's presence start glowing in His presence, people, to say, that's something a man can see and say, hey, it works. You're going to have to believe God because He said it in His word. And everybody is in the same position. There is nothing that you can point at and say, hey, this is a fact that proves that people really go to heaven and that there really is a God. We get saved by faith. We get saved because we believe His word. His word forms in us. When people tell you that Jesus died for you, that His blood was shed for you, and He rose again to justify you, and He's your high priest in heaven, you can't see any of that. That happened way before our time, 2,000 years ago. It's almost time for Him to return. According to the word of God, it's time for Him to return. These are the end times. That's why we're talking about end times. I may not even get another subject before He comes back. It's so close. But you're judging God based on words. And when you hear His word, that if your heart is humble, that word will get in your heart and grow, like just like a seed in your garden. And it will come up and produce faith, and you'll believe God. You'll believe the truth of God's word. And you'll believe that Jesus died for you, that His blood was shed for you, that He rose again to justify you. And you'll say, hey, He's my Savior. And when you say that He's my Savior in faith, your spirit, man, is made brand new. All because of words that you heard that happen to be true. Well, prove it, preacher. I can't. You're going to have to believe it, my man, and live. Well, I want something I can see. Too bad. You're going to have to believe his word. And people who believe his word do some of the most amazing things. Their life works according to how they believe God's word. Preacher, is that fair? It is to me. I believe it. So it's important. You can forget fair. It wasn't fair for man to go to hell in the first place. But we all got to overcome the liar. You couldn't see Satan's words, so why should you see God's words? You believed him, and he didn't have nothing, no proof at all when he lied through that darn snake. He didn't have no proof. He told Eve a flat-out lie, and they died because of it. You can't go nowhere and find Adam because he's dead. But the second Adam is not dead, and that's Jesus. He arose. You can't find him either unless you get saved and go to heaven, and you will definitely see him. There's nothing, there's no proof you can see without faith. But there is evidence by faith, because he makes a change in you, and you know it, and you feel it, and you believe it, and you receive it, and it works in your life. Every time I apply the word of God, it works. Every time it works. And it also turns around and exposes Satan's lies for what they are, so I can reject that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in a greater way. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll still teach and comfort those who believe him and take him at his word. Now, the next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord. And visit newlivingletters.com. See what's new on the sites. Until next time, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.